The fall's most kick-ass new drama has kicked off Wednesdays. Don't miss the CW's incredible new series, All-American. Greg Berlanti, producer of mega hits like Riverdale and Black Lightning, is behind this one. So you know it's going to be your new obsession for the fall. Inspired by a true story, All-American is about Spencer James, a crazy talented high school football player from the inner city who gets recruited to play in Beverly Hills. In what's sure to be his breakout role, up-and-comer Daniel Ezra shows major chops playing LA-born and raised Spencer James, especially considering Daniel is a Brit. The always amazing Taye Diggs crushes it as Beverly High coach Billy Baker. The entire cast is smoking hot and ridiculously sexy. It's action-packed on every level. Sports, drama, crime drama, high school drama, love drama, family drama. All Americans bringing all the drama. Don't miss the incredible new series All American Wednesdays, only on the CW and CW app.
Check it out.
Josh.
Well, I was born in a slam town.
You were born in a slam town, in a slam town, in a slam town.
All right. Hold on. We're gonna get emails. All right. Welcome, Josh Wiggler, Wiggle Room.
Rob, I'm sorry that we began with a song, because that is against the plan that I had. I wanted to begin this week's Wiggle Room with a statement that.
Do you have a prepared statement?
I would like to begin this podcast with a prepared statement,
yes.
But I did not prepare the statement, so I can't.
Oh.
I can't read anything. I've got nothing written. Got nothing.
All right. Josh Wiggler, Rob Cesternino, coming at you here, Wiggle Room, for episode number 3 of the Survivor David versus Goliath. And a lot to unpack here today as we are talking about what is looking like the end of the post or the pre-swap game here through 3 weeks of Survivor David versus Goliath. Josh, how are you?
I'm well. I am doing strong. I'm Goliath strong today.
Goliath strong. That's great.
Is how I'm feeling. Not as if I have been driven over by an 18-wheeler. How many times did the 18-wheeler go over Gabby, according to the show? Multiple times.
Many times.
How do you survive something like that?
Yes. I believe that was Natalie that had been driven over by the 18-wheeler many times, right?
Oh, it was just other buses that Gabby was dragged under by by Nick and the like. Lots of people getting driven over by buses that I presume are driven by one Sandy Sandy Bergen.
Yeah. So, all right, Josh, let's start the week with how we ended it. And we had Mr. Jeremy Crawford, who ended up going out from the game. First, before we get to talking about the exit interviews.
Josh, oh, yeah.
let's just go back to the entrance interviews, because the exit interviews have been talked about a bit. But in the preseason, I did think it was very interesting that Jeremy told you while you were out there in Fiji about how he was keenly aware of what the women were going to be working on this season. It seemed like that was something that he came into the game sort of like set in his mind of, hey, there's actually what he said to you, and I don't want to misquote, but he said there's not even that many fine guys out here, and usually that the women get into showmances, but he was concerned because maybe there was only one, maybe two good-looking guys out there, that they wouldn't be as distracted with the showmances.
It's very interesting. I was going back and I was revisiting some of that material myself. And I actually, so the way that I structure these out is I write out like time codes for all of the different interviews, so I can just go back and find the quotes pretty quick. And I went back and I looked at the time code for when Jeremy was talking about Angelina specifically, because as we'll get into with a lot of the exit press, he had some things to say about her. And he, in that segment, when I asked him to weigh in on Angelina, you know, know, I hold up a picture of Angelina and I say, what do you think about her? And he says that she's another one. He's already talked about Allison. She's another one who's going to be a really big threat out here. The women this season, they're all threats for all the reasons that you just outlined, Rob, is what Jeremy says, and says, like, they're not going to be looking into any romances out here. And my, how the tables turned somewhere over the course of the next 9 days of his opinion completely changing on that matter. But, you know, even heading into the game, I think whether or not he was identifying certain people as being susceptible to the showmance, it feels like that idea, at the very least, was on his mind early on. And I think that you hear the word showmance popping up a lot from Jeremy over the three episodes that he is involved in. So I don't know, somebody had showmance on the mind. I'm pretty sure we know who it is.
Yeah, he talked a lot about showmance. He talked about in an earlier episode that he thought that Dan had a showmance and Kara had a strategy. This was from the other night, talking about showmance.
Karen, Dan, they're definitely in the showmance, and it's definitely dangerous.
Definitely.
I don't think I ever want to hear the word showmance ever again. I prefer Bookmance Raider. I'm not a Showmance Raider fan. I never want to hear the word Showmance again. I've heard the word Showmance so many times in the last several days, and it's enough. It's dead. The word is dead. It's finished. Burn it with fire. Throw it in the fire with all the fake idols. It's terrible. No, go away. Stop. Death to the showman. For so many reasons, death to the showman. It was funny to go back and listen to Jeremy's interview, actually, from the preseason. I really do recommend it, whether you listen to First One Out at the start of the season or if it's something that you'd like to catch back up on. I actually think that there's a lot of great, like, retroactively ironic moments in that interview where he's talking about how he's a truth teller, he's a spirit reader, he sees people's truths. His problem with that is he doesn't know if people are always going to want to hear the truth as he sees it, that some people might think that that's dangerous. That seemed to be a thing that really got him in trouble, was just really speaking his mind. He also talked about how Survivor is a matter of kind of Jekyll and Hyde, where you're your own worst enemy out there and you're playing against yourself. As the great meme would tell you, congratulations, Jeremy, you just played yourself.
You played yourself.
Yes.
I would love to give an assignment to our hardcore listeners out there. I would love to know the first appearance of the word showmance on Survivor. I mean, is this recently? Have people used the term showmance before? Because traditionally, showmance is a Big Brother term, one brought into popularity by one of my all-time favorites, Dr. Will Kirby, way back when.
And so it's old school. It's very old school.
It's very old in terms of Big Brother. But I don't know when was the first time it was ever said on Survivor.
Yeah, where would you have to go back to even look at such a thing? Like, were they talking about Greg and Colleen?
Definitely not, because that's
two people in a showmance.
Prior to Dr. Will. I mean, you could tell me, oh, Eliza was saying it about Parvati and James in Micronesia, or you could tell me Jeremy was the first person to ever say it on the show. Neither one would surprise me.
Right. I'm curious for the answer as well, except for whoever finds the answer, if you could deliver it with a different word other than showmance, because the word showmance has it is triggering for me now, and I never want to see it again. If you could just, like, invent a different word, I'll understand that this word is being used to substitute for showmance. I don't know if you want to say, like, cheese stick. I'll understand what it is you mean.
Could you use the long form and instead of the portmanteau? Could you say, like, a show romance?
You could say that. You also probably shouldn't say cheese stick, which I should pronounce more clearly, because if said quickly, that could be construed as something else entirely. And that is certainly not what I meant.
I don't think I'm following where you're going, but okay.
And I feel like... It's just something that occurred to me about 10 seconds after I said the
word.
Hey,
Josh.
Oh, don't get me started. Don't get me started on what everyone's favorite urologist has been texting me recently. It's too much.
Okay. All right. So let's
just say I'll never watch Alf again the same way.
Okay. No further questions, Your Honor.
No, please, God, no.
All right. So going to Jeremy this week. So Jeremy came off of the show, and I think that a lot of us in the exit press circuit were, very tuned into, okay, this is going to be Jeremy versus Natalie. We figured, okay, Jeremy's going to come out hot about Natalie, and what does he have to say about his fellow Goliath tribe mate, Natalie? But it seemed like that there was something else on his mind.
Yeah, very much. And, you know, the way that this starts off is he's talking to the great Dalton Ross at Entertainment Weekly first, and he comes out with the prepared statement. The prepared statement. He has entered press day with a speech that he would like to deliver, a monologue about the fact that the real reason he was voted out of the show was because of something that we did not see, something that we were not privy to, that there was this alleged showmance occurring. God, I hate that word. Occurring between Angelina and John, which would be a huge blindside on a number of levels, because we had not seen hide nor hair of such a thing on the show. We'd seen that the two of them were close as far as allies, that Angelina said, "I have John," but that's literally all we'd seen of really any relationship between the two of them. And would also be like very much of a big deal, considering that, you know, John was engaged when he was out there on the island, has since gotten married since coming back. Angelina is married. This is a heavy, very hefty accusation to be throwing out there with nothing to base it on as far as any of us are concerned. So for me, the way that I experienced this was I didn't have any kind of heads up of reading the exit press before I spoke to him. None of it had been published yet. So he just gets on the line and is talking about this, and I'm floored, absolutely shocked by what it is he's saying. It sounded like you at least had the opportunity to like kind of get a little bit of a heads up of what was going on in the exit press circuit that
so
day.
From my perspective, I had been, you know, refreshing Twitter like I do thousands of times a day. And so I had seen, I think that Gordon Holmes had the headline of Survivor blames ouster on off-screen event that you didn't. And I said, okay, well, this is interesting enough. And then I saw that he was saying that the issue was because he was outing this showmance.
Right. That must have been a very surprising thing to read.
It was.
As it was a surprising thing to hear. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So really, what it seems like then it came down to was an issue of Samantha Semantics, where that, according to Jeremy, he said, no, John and Angelina definitely did have a showmance. And so my question to him was that, was that something that you actually believed, or was it a joke that you said
right,
that then she was offended that you made the joke? And he sort of turned around into, it depends on what your definition of showmance is.
Yeah, it's a shame, mance. I think it would be nice if part of his prepared statement had included a very clear definition of what a showmance is. And Lord knows, Lord, I mean, Jeff knows that I wish that I had had the wherewithal to like ask that follow-up question of like, what is it that you are constituting as a showmance? What does that word mean to you? But I was genuinely so taken aback by the direction of the discourse that it didn't even occur to me. It was a very, very odd, weird, surprising start to an exit interview, the likes of which I cannot recall. Having been on the exit press circuit since San Juan del Sur, I can't recall one that just started off on such unexpected territory.
So that turned out to be a very loaded word, and one that seemed to have the intent to either offend or to, you know, upset Angelina and or her spouse. And so, Josh, you were the one that had the exclusive in terms of getting the response from Angelina to the showmance allegation.
Yeah, well, because that's such a it's such a heavy accusation to make that is based on nothing that we have seen on the show. And for me, I just did not feel comfortable running that line of thinking from Jeremy of this being the narrative without at least getting the other side of it. Something like this is just it's so far outside of anything that I had expected and so far outside of anything that I think anybody would have expected, both from the events of the show and from the events of how these things normally go, that I felt like it was only fair to allow Angelina some rebuttal here. So I reached out to CBS and asked if that was something that was possible. And we got the statement that she sent in response, which I thought was an outrageously fair thing for her to say after being dragged under some more buses. So much bus dragging happening here on this past week of Survivor.
So in case people have not read those comments, you should check them out at thr.com/survivor to read Jeremy's exit interview in full and the Angelina quote. Can I give the quote?
Yes, please do.
So Angelina told Josh Wigler, "My husband and I are aware of Jeremy's comments. While we do not appreciate his blatant mischaracterization of my friendship and alliance with John, I am not surprised he feels compelled to attempt to revise the narrative. I think all of this really comes down to one fundamental Survivor truth. Being the first eliminated member of your tribe by a unanimous and undisclosed blindside must really sting, especially for a supposed Goliath." And let me just say, as somebody who is not a supposed Goliath, yes, guilty as charged. It does.
It hurts. It hurts. The sting.
Ouch.
The sting. It burns.
Ouch.
It burns.
And you know what else hurts? That.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really good response, I think. That's a one-way ticket to Slam Town.
Yes.
That's a press release straight out of Slam Town, I think.
Dateline, Slam Town.
It's just the whole thing is so ridiculous. I guess some people are probably here for this level of drama. I'm not here for it. I'm not here for it. I don't like
it. No siree. Fields.
Yes. It's just bad. It's just bad. This is not the way you come off the game and hop into exit press, especially for somebody who talks about the importance of self-awareness. You know, it was just a very tone-deaf way to approach exit press, I thought. I was very disappointed by it. I really would have liked to have, like, dug into what were the Goliath tribe dynamics like, blah, blah, blah. Talk to me a little bit more about that. And instead, it's just this wackadoo story that, you know, not for a minute, not for a second do I believe that Angelina, like, had the hots for John Hennigan. There's just nothing to base that on.
He's a good-looking guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could think that he's hot, but I don't think that there's any evidence whatsoever to support any kind of narrative that she's, like, actively into John Hennigan. And I think the fact that it's even something that's being talked about really just annoys the shit out of me, to be completely
idiotic.
It is idiotic. And what sucks about it too is I think that it diminishes Jeremy for me. As somebody who I really enjoyed through three episodes of the show, was sad to see go, and then comes out with, you know, both guns blazing in this very odd direction that he is he is pulling the trigger against. It's just annoying. It's frustrating. I dislike it tremendously.
Right. And we have seen certainly the, you know, work spouse relationship on Survivor. It would be, you know, really wild if somebody came away from Survivor Philippines and Penner said, "I'll tell you what, did you see that Malcolm and Denise showmance?"
Right. Yeah, if that had been classified as a showmance, then showmance could just be applied to literally anything. Like, you and I have a showmance here going on in the Wiggle Room, Rob. We are in a very serious showmance.
Been said before. I mean, we don't give it a lot of attention, but it's been said.
You know, we don't talk about it too much because we're higher than that. You know, we're on the higher ground here. We're above it.
Yeah.
But you know what? If I was playing Survivor, and I am a married man, and I had like a close partnership with a woman out there on the show, somebody who I really trusted, somebody who I wanted to play the game with, and suddenly somebody is like going around talking about how I'm in a showmance with that person, and if this is somebody who's already proving themselves to be like a fishy kind of guy, looking like around, you know, looking around for idols, and just like being like pretty outwardly strategic, being pretty smart, is on the outs of numbers, this would definitely be something that would drive me to want to vote this person out. Like the mischaracterization of my working dynamic with somebody else. That would be a very valid reason in my book to be like, no, this guy can't be trusted. This guy's very volatile. This guy's causing problems. This guy is saying things that are absolutely untrue. I'm coming for this person right now. So even if there's like that element of truth to this story, that like Jeremy like made a joke and said like these two people are in a showmance, and that got back to Angelina, she would be well within her rights to be like, A, no, and B, I'm not cool with him going around saying that. That's going to hurt me back home. That would be a totally legitimate reason to be going after Jeremy, and I think that it would signal to me, if I was a player, that this is a volatile person that I just obviously cannot trust moving forward. So from that perspective, fully legit within the confines of the game to go after somebody for that reason, I think.
Okay, so let's segue from Jeremy to the person who was the intended target, at least in Jeremy's mind coming into this week, and that is Napalm Now. Natalie, who I think, Josh, she seems to be enjoying a 100% approval rating
by everybody except for Jeremy.
What? He didn't even seem to be killing her that bad.
Well, speaking of killing Natalie, yeah.
Natalie, what do you think of everybody loving you so much?
Get out of town.
Yeah, no, I will not.
Get out of Slam Town. No, God forbid the day ever arrives, and I'd like to think that she may be immortal, but we would all be at Natalie Cole's funeral at this point. I think everyone would show up. We are here for her. She's fantastic. She has been tremendous on television. Great voting confessional with the, just like sort of the way she laughs out, and your skin looks gorgeous, darling, like a supervillain. She's amazing. She's delivering in a really incredible way. Just an absolute delight to watch on screen. And in like the real time of watching the episode, I'm in that same camp as people who are like, oh man, I really don't want to see either of these two people go. These are both incredibly compelling television characters. I think if you had to choose, even without knowing the direction that some of this was going in terms of the exit press, I think to lose Natalie at this point would have been really, really sad. I'm thrilled she's still around.
Yeah, she was really good, though, at the tribal council, because I feel like that on the beach, I feel like she's been a little one note in terms of that. We just keep seeing this side of her where, you know, that, oh, OK, Natalie is bossy. That's sort of like been the storyline for two episodes. But I think it kind of had like a little bit of a pivot at the tribal council where we saw her sort of, you know, saying some of the right things, and then sort of that great confessional. I really liked the moment where, you know, she was trying to say to the tribe that she is actually receptive to the things that they're saying to her.
And it may not be on purpose. It may be what she does on a regular basis. She's a boss or whatever, but we're not her employees.
And it would be lovely if somebody else has an opinion about this, because I'm very open to constructive criticism.
Who knew?
Who not, Boo?
Yeah, so she is she's great. Really am loving the Natalie Cole experience.
I think that also you now, and you're the person to do this, you're the one who can pull this together. Celebrity Survivor softball tournament needs to happen. And we need to see that low ball. We need to see Natalie on the field for sure. I'll send the wombat hat. She can wear it proudly.
Guess what? I'm not just going to stand still and take the punch. I was a softball player. And I still play softball. I'm on a women's softball team, so trust me, I can throw some low balls.
Yeah.
As the coach of the Wigglers Wombats, do you advise throwing the low balls?
Depends on what you're trying to get at.
Jeremy threw a couple of low balls in those exit interviews.
You know what? I don't advise anybody to throw low balls in exit press. It's just like, you know, keep it confined to the realm of the game. You know, this Some decorum. I loved that confessional from Natalie. I, like you, was very tickled by when she laughed at her own remarks. I thought it was great. She's got a great laugh. She just has like this sort of like little bellow that comes out of nowhere where you don't know what it is that she's going to say that's going to amuse herself so much that she's just got to laugh. One in a million casting Natalie Cole.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing.
She's really great. Do you think that she applied or was she a recruit? Do you remember from First One Out?
She says that she had wanted to be on the show from the very, very start, and it took her a long time to shore up the nerve to apply because also she just had a lot going on in her life. And I don't remember how recently she had applied or how many times she had applied, but she did apply. She not a recruit. She's a day one survivor, super fan, if not super duper fan.
Okay. So I think that this is a good place to do this as we're talking about. What does the future hold for Natalie? As we are heading into the tribe swap, as per the preview, I don't think it's been released whether we're going to two tribes or three tribes. Josh, do you have any sort of insight on this?
I don't think so, but my assumption would be it's going to be 2 to 3. That seems to be the thing that Survivor likes to do these days.
Yes. Okay. So you think I actually think we're going to go to two tribes.
You think it's just going to be a straight up two swap?
Yeah,
that's the Fijian two swap.
Okay, so that's good. So I like that we don't agree on this. So yeah, I think that, and maybe this is the place to have this conversation as well. That I suspect maybe B could not be long for this world, and then we see an early B medical evacuation, and then swap to two tribes.
Yeah, you know we. You know, before we got on the line here, Rob and I, we were talking about, like, what are some of the things we could talk about in the wiggle room today? I was like, do we want to entertain the notion that the bee's knees is actually the start of some story of, like, you know, the Tyson Apostle dislocates his arm and goes on to you know, snake everybody and win the game because no one's looking anymore? Could this be what bee is in store for? But really, it's a hard one to picture. It's a hard one to picture right now.
Yeah, I mean... It's possible, but I don't think everybody is worried about B as this massive challenge threat. She was kind of a challenge goat after the second challenge where she was the one she really cost the Davids. She did, I feel like, redeem herself in the third challenge where she, you know, had bested Alec this time around, but that was where she hurt her knee. But, I mean, Survivor doesn't really show us injuries if they are not important in some way.
It was an odd scene. It was an odd scene, especially to go straight from the challenge that David had won to go back to the David tribe and highlight B's injury to the point that I thought, like, oh, is she about to get pulled from the game? Is that literally
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, it like completely shaped that for me.
If I could, let me just quickly make the case of a time that we saw something like this and it did not result in a medical evacuation. And I think if we go back to Philippines again, if we're talking about that showmance between Malcolm and Denise over on one of the other tribes, over on with Penner, over with Jeff Kent on the first challenge, he, you know, said, oh, I think I hurt my knee. I think I hurt my ACL. And, you know, he told us about that. And that seemed like, okay, well, maybe that could be something. And also Abby Maria, you know, did she talk about her knees or maybe that was only an exit press? That might have been a time where they yada yadded it.
No, didn't she at one point, like before she won that immunity challenge post merge, she was complaining about the knee. And so like it was a big victory for her in spite of the fact she had an injured knee.
Yeah. So both of them, you know, had
Abby,
issues.
Abby, Maria, mm-hmm. No coincidence there, I'm sure.
Yeah. So both of them, you know, mentioned an issue with their knee that did not result in them being medically evacuated. So there is some precedent.
So if this is the Jeff Kent prophecy and this is B is going to go on a Jeff Kent style trajectory, then she is going to be totally fine. Yeah, she's going to be totally fine right up until a little bit after the merge when her overzealousness for getting rid of returning players is going to get the better of her. And B, having only watched one season of Survivor starting a month before she went out there and played, suspects that everybody on the Goliath tribe might actually be a returning player.
Yeah, as long as they weren't on Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers.
Any one of them could be a former player. And like, she may be like hyper paranoid that everybody else knows it and nobody's filling her in. So she's got a score to settle.
Okay. So what we are going to do is we're going to draft, and we are going to draft for the first person voted out after this week's tribe swap. And we don't need to decide, is it two tribes? Is it three tribes? You know, pick a tribe. We are just trying to figure out the person who will be with a prepared or unprepared remarks on the exit interview as the person voted out at the end of the episode. So if you think that B, maybe she's not going to get medically evacuated, but maybe she goes to a tribe and then she's sort of like a sacrificial lamb because, okay, well, she can barely walk, let's vote her out. You're welcome to draft B, but if she is medically evacuated, that is not the person that we are looking for.
Okay, that makes sense to me. It would also be fun to do a draft of which survivor cast away from David versus Goliath could get voted out next and show up to press day with a prepared statement.
Be another
way. Well, I feel like Christian's a slam dunk for that. God forbid we ever see the day. I feel like Christian coming in with a prepared statement, you could see that pretty easily. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how prepared the mayor of Slamtown statements are.
Frankly, I don't know how prepared Jeremy's statement was.
All right. So, Josh, I will give you the first pick, and then you have snake draft or regular.
Let's do snake draft. Okay. Let's do snake draft.
You're generous. Okay.
I know. Well, I frankly don't like that I'm going first, that I have to set the tone here, but here we go. Looking into it, who is somebody that would normally be in a position to get swap screwed?
Yeah. And let's just draft five each. So we'll draft 10 of the 17 remaining players.
Oh, well, then I feel like we've got a pretty decent shot though. One of us is going to get this person.
Well, did you want to draft all 17?
No. I think that you're right. I like this. Okay. I think this is the right way to go. First person who I think could be getting, who I think could be getting ousted here on the swap. I mean, I think just because like you're about to go into smaller numbers, who knows if there's like a lopsided, balance in terms of physical strength on a tribe, somebody who is potentially going to be weak in the challenges, also potentially someone who could be a source of conflict around camp. I don't want to will it into existence, and I hope that I am wrong, but I just feel like the first person on the board you'd have to take is Natalie here.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to start off with Queen Natalie. I'm going to hope that I'm wrong. I will happily be wrong. But I just think that just in terms of everybody on the table, this is somebody that you could knock out right now.
Okay. So Josh says Natalie could be this week's boot.
Don't send me your napalm hate mail.
But someone barking down my throat and in my face and on my head like this one has done, get out of town.
Oh, no. I've been banished. Oh, I'll head back to Wimpville.
I am Goliath Strong.
Okay. Yeah, you are. Yes, you are.
But if she's not a Goliath now, that could throw everything off. Okay.
Oh, yes. The whole balance is right. Thrown for a loop.
I am going to go with my first pick. You know, I thought it was interesting how much time the episode spent on the work that Nick was doing to throw Gabby under the bus. I think that Gabby could catch a break if B goes out of the game, because B really has a bee in her bonnet about getting rid of Gabby. But I think that maybe the damage could be done. And if she ends up with a couple of the wrong Goliaths, like a Davey or a Carl or a Nick, I think that people would like to see Gabby be the person to go home. So yeah. I think it could be Gabby.
That's a good pick. I think that there's some momentum building behind that. This idea that yes, the Davids had this successful vote against Jess, and it was a great momentary success, but almost immediately, Mason Dixon, my favorite detective pair on television, they were automatically agreeing that like, yeah, as much as we can place blame on Gabby here. So why is that on the show right now? Potentially because she's in for a pretty quick fall here. I don't think that's a bad pick.
Okay. And then in the snake draft, then I will go with another member of the David tribe. I mean, don't forget they are down in the numbers. So maybe there's a chance of a Goliath advantage on any of these tribes. So I'm going to go with Lyrsa just because that there's a couple of people out there where maybe there's still some people that are feeling like she was the weakest from the Jessica vote, and that maybe Lyrsa becomes the fourth player out.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry as well, because as much as I love Lyrsa, and Lord knows I do, I think I would have picked Lyrsa next. I think for a lot of the reasons you've outlined, you know, she's in the David tribe. They're at a current numbers disadvantage for the similar reasons that I identified for Natalie. I think if she's with the wrong combination of people, and I hate to lump on the narrative about Lyrsa's challenge performance, but you could imagine that being a possible reason. So good pick. I think that's a good pick.
Okay. You're up right. for two.
Well, you've got two Davids. I feel like I gotta put a stop to you being able to scoop up all the Davids here. I think somebody who could be in danger if they get into a place where, like, let's say if it's a 2-3 and then you've got smaller tribes that you're dealing with. But even if it's like a big group of two tribes and it's like a lopsided thing where a David falls into the trap of a bunch of Goliaths. I love him to death, but I would be nervous about Christian as somebody who has identified himself as a strategic threat. That opening puzzle performance could be a reason why we're seeing so much of Christian is because he's gold, but may only be gold for a short period of time. I don't feel great about this choice, but I'm just going to pick Christian. I'm going to pick Christian as a guy who could just get in trouble at a swap.
Okay. All right.
Do you think that's a horrible pick?
I probably wouldn't have picked him, but I definitely, you know, coming into the season, I feel like I could have seen that, but it feels like that people seem so drawn to him that he seems to, you know, have a magnetism. And Josh, don't forget, there's the coming of the Charmpocalypse.
Well, the Charmpocalypse implies death and destruction.
The
know?
End of Charm?
You know, I think it seems like the end of Charm. I think I'm almost certainly wrong here. But I'm going to take Christian. And then I feel like I should take like a big guy from Goliath, like for the opposite reason. You know, if Christian is sort of like the potential puzzle Ozzy in the making here, who is the person on Goliath who's like the really big deal that you could be taking potentially to Slamtown? Why don't we just take the mayor of Slamtown? Let's bring the mayor of Slamtown aboard for my team. I'm also assuming that I'm going to lose this, so maybe my strategy is going to be just like bringing on people that I'm praying to God do not get voted.
Do the opposite. Okay,
episode.
So
yeah, exactly.
You think the mayor of Slamtown, who I think has been doing very well.
He's been doing great. I love the mayor of Slamtown. I think that he's spectacular. Congratulations to Mr. John Hennigan, too. Didn't he just win some sort of big wrestling deal?
Hold that thought, Josh.
Okay.
All right. I am going to go back. I'll take another David, and this may be a little counterintuitive because this was my winner pick for the season, but I'm going to say Carl. I think that there is a chance that maybe that he ends up getting swapped to a group that is some combination of Davids that he didn't vote with at the previous vote, and then also Goliaths that he may not necessarily fit in with. So I think that there is a world where Carl could be the first person out after the swap.
I think that world exists. I'm actually starting to get pretty high on Carl. I think that I really like this guy. And I, you know, do I think that he is like going to be like a strategic mastermind moving forward in this season? Not necessarily. But I do think that he is, we got that scene of him crying in the aftermath of Jess going home and just how much harder Survivor is than he expected. And it just felt like this moment that is really, you could imagine that being like the start of a big heroic arc for Carl. At least I feel like I'm looking for that from somebody on the David tribe of like, what is that real, like fall from grace and then rise from the ashes? If not for the full way through, then at least for a time. I liked B for that, honestly, with B's, you know, confessional about, like, you keep fighting, you keep scrapping, and then the knee thing happened, and so I liked that less. But I like that for Carl. I think that arc, you can imagine that starting to build as of last episode. So I think you might be wrong on that one.
Okay. Give me Nick also, because I'm going to stick with my strategy of going with the Davids, just because that is a tribe that was fractured kind of down the middle. And then we had the nine Goliaths all voting together. So I feel like that there might be more of a propensity for the Goliaths to stick together no matter where they are. And we did see that Nick did get off on the wrong foot with some people in the first 3 days. So maybe he doesn't make the best first impressions with his groups. So I will say that maybe Nick could be screwed at the swap.
All right. Yeah, I think that's possible. It depends on if he gives like a really crappy nickname to like any future alliances that he's trying to build. That could be the nail in the coffin.
What's our nickname? Siegfried and Roy. Why? Why? That doesn't even make sense.
The nail in the coffin would be a great name for an alliance between Keith Nail and James Clement.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Yeah. That should be a service that we provide. I feel like we should have like alliance name generators that people who are going out to the future of Survivor can take with them.
I like it.
That's an off-season podcast. We'll call Mike Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be around. All right. So I get two picks, right? I get two picks and I get to close it out for my
squad. Two in a row.
Squad.
Bring it home.
Well, you know, she's still available. Got to take Queen Bee, right? Like, I feel like, you know, you can imagine the scenario where she swaps over. She's just doing so poorly. She's an easy one to pick off while she's here. I'm just going to take Bee.
I forgot about her. I thought we already ruled her out, but you're right. It was a good pick.
It was pretty good that we let her go this far. So I'm happy to take B here. And it's just because I have no idea what's going on with her on the show. And she's my winner pick for the season. But I'm going to take Dr. Allison.
Not bad.
You know, just like, why is everything so quiet for her? If we see a lot of Dr. Allison early on in this upcoming episode, I'm going to feel like I'm the winner pick of this draft as my winner pick. Okay. Overall goes home.
Okay. So I don't know if are there even any Davids left to draft. Elizabeth is undrafted. Elizabeth
undrafted.
And Davy.
Davy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am actually going to go with a Goliath here. And okay. I'm going to go with Mr. Hot Cop Dan.
Okay, why? Why Hot Cop Dan? Maybe, Pat and Heat with his idol, too.
Yeah, maybe, though, that he has the idol, like Davey does, but nobody knows Davey has the idol. And we did see Jeremy on his way out the door did expose to everybody, hey, guess what? Dan has the idol. So maybe Dan ends up in a group where there are people armed with that information, or even like one person who's a Goliath who wants to swap to the Davids and then outs that information of Dan has the idol to the new group. So I think that is a possibility. Maybe Dan goes out with the idol in his pocket after the swap.
I don't think that's a horrible idea. I mean, it'd be a horrible idea for Dan. It'd be bad for Dan. But in terms of a pick, I like it. I like the pick. All right.
Not a lot of bad picks. 10 picks into the who's getting voted off at the swap draft.
All right. So that's it.
Swap town.
One of these people is going to Swap Town. Well, they're all going to Swap Town. Everyone goes to Swap
Town. Okay, so just to reset, as you're watching on Wednesday night, the people that are on the Josh team, what's the name of your team?
Wiggleton. Wiggleton is it, or is it Wiggler? Wiggleberg.
Wiggleberg.
That's where I come from, Wiggleberg.
Okay. And I am from a podcast. Sure.
For podcast?
Yeah, that's the name of the town. That's the name of the town I'm from. Podcast, what? Sure.
Not Podcast Shire? Podcast, sure.
It sounded like New Hampshire in my head.
Pod Hampshire. Podcast, sure. That's what I say every time you ask me if I want to get
podcast?
on sure. Sure. That's what people probably say when they see a Wiggle Room pop up in their feed. Podcast, sure.
All right.
Fine, I'll listen to it.
What was your name? Wiggleton?
Wiggleberg.
Wiggleberg.
All right. Wiggleberg versus podcaster.
All right. Your team is Natalie, Christian, the mayor of Slamtown, B, and Dr. Allison, and I have got Gabby, Lyrsa, Carl, Nick, and Dan.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
How are you feeling about your chances here? Are you feeling podcast sure or podcast unsure?
I feel pretty good, but, you know, I think this is a good thing for the season. I don't know who's going to go home this week. And if you would have asked me before this past episode, I would not have guessed Jeremy. And if you would have asked me two episodes ago, I would not have said Jessica.
Yeah. Season's great.
Yeah.
Great season so far.
So far,
having
so good.
Great time.
Really, yes. It's been fun.
Knock on wood. Fingers crossed. Everything stay exactly as it's been. We're doing great right now. Survivor's in a good spot.
Okay. Before we get to this week's Wandoff, I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors. And this is a good one. New sponsor to the podcast. Josh, I want to talk about Talkspace, the online therapy company that lets you Ooh. Message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. All you need is a computer with an internet connection or the Talkspace mobile app. That means you can improve your mental health even if you've had trouble making time for it in the past. And this is such a great service because I think there's so many people that would like to talk to somebody, but whether it's I don't know how or I can't make the time, there are a lot of obstacles that we think are there that stop us from using something like Talkspace.
Totally. I love this. This is awesome. So I started seeing my current therapist a year ago, and like the lead up to finding the person who I wound up seeing, it felt like it took forever. And I felt like I was just getting so discouraged because I wasn't finding the right person, or I thought I found the right person. They weren't getting back to me. And I was feeling very depressed about it. And when I finally connected with this person, like my mental health is just, it has improved dramatically since then. And I think just whether it's somebody you're speaking with in person or a service like this, just being able to have that resource is just a phenomenal thing. I love the idea of Talkspace. This is great. I'm very thrilled to have them here on the Wiggle Room right now.
Well, I am very happy to hear that you are doing so great, Josh.
Well, I'm doing podcast, sure.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
You know, doing all right, doing podcast okay.
Well, the great thing about Talkspace is that it is very easy to send your therapist a message anytime, get something off your chest whenever you need to, talk about your everyday challenges at work or at home, just chat about life. There's no extra commutes, no leaving the office, and no judgment. It's a great tool for practical everyday strategies for stress management and living a happier life. Talkspace is a platform that has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life challenges that we all face. To match with the perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/Rob and use the promo code Rob to get $45 off your first month and show support for the show. That's Talkspace.com/Rob and use the promo code Rob for $45 off your first month. All right, Josh. So hopefully that's something that can be helpful for many of our listeners.
Yeah, I agree. And normally we do the thing where like Wanda cuts me off in the middle of a thought, but given that's a fairly serious thing, that let's just go to the Wanda. The
stop right there. You want to know right now before you go any further. This is Wanda, and you're in my arena. If you need to, you can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirt up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda.
Slamtown.
The interesting thing about the Wandoff is I've heard it be described as therapeutic in nature and also so repellent that it drives people to therapy.
Yeah. So
very divisive. Yeah, very divisive.
It's bringing balance to the universe.
To the force. Yes, yes, yes.
All right.
I'm firmly in the former category, of course.
Yeah. I've been hearing a lot of good things about the Wandoff so far this season. People, at least, I haven't heard much from the haters. Cue the haters.
They're gone.
And the people, the Wandoff lovers, feels the Wandoff has been lit this season.
Well, we got to get into what happened last week, because that top five was fabulous. It was a fabulous five is what I would say, but I think that there is a copyright issue.
Yes. What was the issue?
I can't say. I can't get into it. There's a legal reason why I can't call it a Fab Five. It's a Queer Eye for the Straight Guy joke.
Okay. All right.
You should watch it. It's very, very good.
I watched it in 2004. I have to watch it
again?
The
new stuff. No, it's the new stuff. Totally new crew. Really, really great stuff. Super emotional material. Really spectacular television. Anyone who hasn't watched the Netflix Queer Eye is that is lit as well. Really, really excellent stuff.
I thought that the original guys came through and they improved everybody's style, and I didn't know that we needed to have the makeovers again.
We need them back.
We need them back?
We need them now more than ever.
The original group took their eye off the ball and everybody's fashion went downhill again?
No, it's a lot more than just fashion.
Okay, I'll check it out. I'll put it in my queue.
It's emotional, it's soulful, it's about, put it in your queue, give it a shot, you'll love it.
Put it in my queue. Okay, I thought it was just a straight reboot.
No, it's a great show.
Okay. All right. Let's get into our top three from last week. Our top three with 18.3% of the vote. It was Alex G with Mike White. And then with 18.52% of the vote, it was our great buddy Adam B with Natalie's So High.
That was very, very intense. That was a delightfully composed song.
And Josh, the winner,
yes,
from week number two in the Wand Off, and it was another runaway.
Wow, really? On a very, what I would have assumed would have been a deeply competitive week.
42.8% of the votes went to Jenny and Colin, Talk Nerdy to Me.
All I really need to understand is when she talks nerdy to me.
I'm a technical writer.
Talk Nerdy to Me.
Which means that I write documentation for software.
So an early win this season for Jenny and Colin. Congratulations.
You know, back in the MTV days, I briefly hosted a web show called Talk Nerdy to Me.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
It lasted about four episodes before it got canceled.
What was the format of the show?
We talked about like nerd stuff. It was like me plus two people, and we would talk about stuff. I talked to Kermit the Frog and Walter the Muppet on Talk Nerdy once. That video is still out there.
Okay. We'll look it up.
That was great. That was one of the highlights of my life.
You know, they also rebooted Muppet Babies, Josh.
I do. I know, and I'm not here for that. I'm not here for that.
You don't like it? The animation is so good.
I'm not going to check it out. I refuse. Don't touch Muppet Babies. That show was a classic, stone cold classic. It needs no update, needs no revision.
No, my kids are into it.
I'm sure that they are, but I wish that they would just watch the reruns.
I don't think that they're aware that the Muppets grow up. I think that they're very just tuned into the Muppet Baby universe.
And then they're living in a really happy time, because when they were babies, they were just so cute. I hope. Do you like the show? Like, as objectively as you can get, is it good? The reboot?
I haven't paid close enough attention to it.
Can you pay closer attention for me and report back?
Yeah, I'll keep an eye on it. But the animation is much improved.
Jenny, I saw, had made a recommendation, because we're struggling with like what to do about wombat hats, because people want them and we don't want to cheapen the Wand Off victory. She, I saw, had suggested that we for multiple winners, we just come out with another wombat line of clothing, so that eventually if you win enough Wand Offs, you have like the full wombat uniform.
How about this? We had a canvas people last season. I feel like that we should have a Wand Off jacket for the season winner.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. So the winner of the Wand Off, the final Wand Off, is getting a wombat jacket?
I think so.
Wow.
Yep.
I think we just put that out there. It's incredible.
Is it like in Greece where like the T-Birds had not T-Bird, who's going to be on the podcast soon, the jacket says Wanda on the back?
Yeah, I think we're going to have Wanda. A really good time. Stay tuned. This is a
concepts.
New idea.
Send us concepts for the...
We're open. We're open to suggestions. Maybe we can have someone like design the wombat, the final Wand Off winning jacket, and the winning submission, we could put it to a vote. That person wins a wombat hat.
Okay.
There's a lot going on. It's very exciting times here in Wombat Nation.
All right, well, let's bring in the host of The Wand Off to take us through this week's honorable mentions and the top five countdown. Please welcome the late, great Casey Kasem. Rob, it's so great to be back here in the Wiggle Room. And Josh, I'm here with a prepared statement. Casey, we already did that joke. We already did that. Sorry, I was in the bathroom during the first part of the show.
Wow. So that bit really does put in perspective what the great Tyler Fredrickson was saying at the top of his voicemail segment with you this week. That the Wiggle Room is a ridiculous thing. we're talking to you're a serious podcaster. I'm a serious journalist. And
I don't
know if
anybody's ever said that before.
Very serious people. It says so in my Twitter bio. And here we are talking to ghosts and singing with the voice of a 60-year-old woman. It's ridiculous. But it's great. It's great. And it's the best thing that's ever happened. So spreading joy.
Josh, let's kick off this week's honorable mentions. Our first honorable mention comes to us from a young man all the way from Detroit, Michigan. He wants to talk about an injury that we may have seen on Survivor this week and what it could mean going forward. Here's Scott.
I have a short wand off to tell all about B-Strain MCL knee could send. Be packing. Some injuries flare up in rain. If this is one that you'll feel the pain knee could send. Be packing. Me could send. Be packing.
That was a great classic from the artist Bobby McFerrin Lobdell.
Lyrics like that are the reasons why we're here. Knee could send, be packing. Indeed it could. Indeed it could. Off to a great start this week. Oh boy. Oh geez.
Next up is a wand off superstar in his own right. It's Aaron Robertson along with Nick Fishman. And Aaron Robertson has more duo alliances than Nick Wilson. Here he is talking about Nick Wilson's decision to blame Gabby.
The blame game?
Oh, that's easy.
The vote had changed. We just booted out Jess. The guys weren't with me. They were playing human chess. Who's to blame for lying to me?
Or lying to B?
Or should we blame the four busting bees knee?
Heck no! Blame Gabby!
Blame Gabby!
She turned on us so quick. Just a set by Nick.
Blame Gabby! Blame Gabby!
Why is Jess so full of salt?
It's Gabby's fault.
That was from the soundtrack of South Pacific Park, the movie.
Now I'm just imagining Wanda as Kyle's mom.
Wanda is everybody's mom, Josh.
Oh, yes.
Mother! Josh, I heard in my earpiece that you mentioned the big news from over the weekend. That a young man named John Hennigan won a world wrestling title.
Yes.
A musical tribute to that accomplishment coming to us from Justin from Washington Heights.
John is a champion, my friend. John won a wrestling championship over the weekend.
John is a champion, the Impact World Champion. He's not a David, no, he is a champion
of Impact World Wrestling. Suck it, Austin Aries.
Ooh, yeah.
That was a classic ballad from the artist, the T. Freddie Mercury. Check out his new film coming to theaters this December.
Rami Malek. Yeah, congratulations to Johnny Mundo, a.k.a. Johnny Impact, a.k.a. the George Bushy of Tushy. Very good stuff.
A.k.a. The mayor of Slamtown.
Indeed,
and that's exactly what we're going to hear from another one of our listeners. Here's Scott C.
When you're a David and you're missing your family, you can dream about Slamtown. You won't find a sash, they're just a title belt for the mayor of Slamtown. In Slamtown, you won't be evicted just for being pushy. Slamtown, you're rewarded for a presidential tushy. How can you lose? Natalie Cole runs all the media. If you don't believe me, then check Wikipedia on Slamtown. You can drag goats when you're Slamtown. Much safer boats when you're Slamtown. Teach me the logistics, too.
Are you saying it's mole people running Slamtown?
The mole people are running a shadow organization through Mayor John Hennigan for Slamtown.
I think it adds up. Okay, wake up, people.
That was a little bit of the RHAP B&B there in Scott's song All About Slamtown, originally performed by Petulia Sophie Clark.
A few things there. I am late to this week's B&B. I am very excited to get into it with that little bit of a teaser. They have been on fire this season. Not literally. There have been no accidents as far as I am aware.
Hey, I'll set it on fire.
Oh, God, no. Stop. This can't happen every single week. It really has to stop at a certain point. You have to end it. I was going to make some sort of joke about Lost because the song, now that you've Dr. Mic'd me. Oh, that's the thing. Didn't Werner from Survivor South Africa have the hot take that Mike White and Ben Linus from Lost are the same guy?
You know, and I had wanted to ask you about Lost early on this season because I felt like that Ben Linus, too, needed a back specialist.
Yes. Deep cut. Mildest of spoilers if you guys are ever going to get into Lost. It really doesn't, last too long. That's very funny. Pat on the back for that one. Sorry, too soon.
Okay.
Oh, good. Very, very good.
Sticking with the mayor of Slamtown, here's Justin from Washington Heights talking about his local elected official.
He's the mayor of the town. 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 David's going down. David's going down. David's going down.
That was the band Thin Lizzy Markham.
Yeah, I figured. That was who was performing that song.
Next up, we're going to talk a little bit about Napalm Natalie. And here's a song all about her from Jason Lee.
She plays soft ball, just like Queen Lauren. She doesn't have all the answers, but she's got many of them. She gets along with everyone and is plenty self-aware. She'll say, get off my island, but compliment your skincare. And isn't she iconic? Don't you think? There was Ray at tribal council that night, and Natalie wouldn't go down without a fight. And everyone voted for Jeremy, even Mike White. And nobody came to his funeral.
Brutal. Savage. Andrew.
A great jam by Alanis Chicken Morissette. Damn.
That was good. I like Idiotic by Alanis Chicken Morissette. Damn.
Idiotic. Finally, we've got one last honorable mention. This comes to us from a man from New England who has the distinction of being the world's only fan of the New England Patriots and the New York Yankees. It's been a bittersweet week for this man, Michael Clark.
I like to say I'm assertive. Some people say it's aggressive. Oh, well.
Tribal council is in an hour. My game begins to fade. Is there something that I can do to survive for three more days? Do you have to be such a... But I have to say your skin looks thin when it comes to the bugs. I'm struggling cause... Somebody, I want to make my plea to somebody. Yeah, I want to chat with somebody. With somebody without you.
That was a great song from Whitney Houston Astros, baby.
I don't even like the Boston Red Sox. It's the Houston Astros, baby.
You know, I had hoped it wouldn't be as easy as Whitney Houston Duncan. You did not disappoint. Thank you, Rob/Casey/whoever you are.
And Rob, if I could make one suggestion, could we get Boston Rob and Russell Hance on the podcast this week to break down the Astros Red Sox ALCS?
Yes. Yes. You gotta be able to make that happen. I think you can at least bring one of those two people to the table. Questionable as to who.
All right, let's get into the top five songs in the country. Here we go. Our top five for the week. Of course, you can vote all week long. Go to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda, where Kurt Clark tabulates all of these results. And don't forget to check out our SoundCloud playlist put together by Randy Neupel when you are a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. This week, we're very excited to welcome back one of the stars of the Wandoff. Here is Phil T talking about the hometown of Mr. Johnny Mundo.
Ladies and gentlemen, the moment you've all been waiting for. Coming in at 224 pounds, the mayor of Slamtown, John Hannigan.
Well, it's looking like it's going to be another tough week in the Wanda with Bill T, a.k.a. Slamtonio Mazzaro, stepping back in this.
Went to the Fiji shores, had no fear. Jeff Probst like, what up with your career? And I'm like, honestly, I'm kind of in a rut right now, he said.
Have I got the show for you? Follow me.
Ooh, that seems tight. I don't want to leave my city, but a milli sounds nice. Socially woke plus Superman strength. And I'm cut like the ribbon when we open Slam Bank. I'm moving
Slam Town, close to the equator. Wrestler, but your boy got layers. Stunt cast, but a decent player. Got pipes, but a different job mayor. Dope. I'm really swole, with arms like these, there ain't gun control. I've been boosting morale, I hang with the gals, and we're saying sayonara to Steve's back. I'm saying nice try, wise guy, Jeremy, bye-bye. Pull a ticket like I'm Rupert, someone grab me tie-dye.
Please follow Rupert's kids on Twitter.
Slam town, slam town, slam town, slam town.
Slam town. Tribes will be at my funeral.
Mm-hmm. That was a great jam by Macklemore and Skinny Ryan Lewis.
I'm still hung up on Slamtonio Mazzaro. How we haven't arrived at that sooner. How we haven't arrived at that sooner is ridiculous. Excellent. Excellent.
Next up, we are going to continue to talk about that popular city of Slamtown. Here is Becky and Taylor talking about welcoming people to Slamtown.
Welcome to Slamtown. They call us the Slamtonians. We like to race little sand crabs. We even have one named Sebastian. But something terrible happened. We got beat by Wimpville, so we had to make a decision. Vote out the mean boss lady or Jeremy. By the way, your skin looks gorgeous, darling Jeremy. That's a hit from Napalm Natalie. Angelina got her way, and the mayor of Slamtown saved his queen. And Mike White turned his back on his best friend. Mike White. Now who's gonna help him not stab his own hands and feet?
I feel like I'm bonding the most with Jeremy just because he bosses me around.
Well, watch your fingers! And don't stab it in your foot.
A moving song by Tracy Hughes Wolf Chapman.
The Mike White is very funny if you know the original song. That's brilliant. What I'm going to miss the most about Jeremy, I think, is Mike White saying his name. I love the way that Mike White says, Jeremy. we'll never hear the likes of that again, I suspect. Did you ever pay attention? He would always say, he's like, I really like Jeremy. Just, I love the way that he says that.
But I don't want to go down the primrose path with him.
With Jeremy?
Yeah. We'll work on it.
I liked it.
We can't wait to hear more about it in TEOS Volume 4.
It's going to be a great time if we live long enough to get there. That's the question.
Speaking of Jeremy, there's a young man named Graham from the Bay, who has a song all about this week's latest voted off survivor.
He hates Natalie. That ain't no lie. He really wants her to go. Oh, he held a tribe meeting with his great skills of communication. But he's mistaken. He can't keep his damn mouth shut. He is doing way too much. Angelina's putting a stop to him stirring the pot. They're not gonna let him stay. They're gonna keep the old lady. He is done. It's Jeremy. It's voting time. A stinging feeling has arisen. That's napalm in Jeremy's eyes. It hurts so bad. His gorgeous skin won't lead to a win. They didn't let him stay. They kept the old lady. He's gone. He's gone. It's Jeremy.
That was a blockbuster from 4 with 9 equals out, but 5 with 9 equals in sync.
Whoa. A reach and a great reach. A great reach at that. You grabbed it. You got it. It's Jeremy.
Next up, Josh Wiggler. We've got a newcomer, and she's coming to us all the way from Canada. Here's Karen making her Wandoff debut, talking about Napalm Natalie.
I don't like you, Jeremy. Don't
like your read on me. It's time you go out pre-jury and throw me a merge feast. What? The game moves on another day, another David drama. But not for me, all I hear is Tony Llama Llama. I snuffed your torch, and one thing's for sure, I still got mine, and you don't have yours. And I got smarter, I got hotter in the nick of time. Killed it on the edit like I did the LA Times. I got a list of names and yours is in red underlined. I wrote it once and I'll write it twice. Oh! Look what you made me do. Your skin's so silky smooth, but it's time to slander you. You got boogers on your tooth. Boogers on your tooth. I'll never be your Seuss. In 3 days you'll be Jeremy who? I don't like somebody and his name is Jeremy. Gonna toss that napalm, nat bomb. I don't like nobody, everybody likes me. Now bow down to your Queen Natalie. The other night, Jeff was talking about a survivor that got run over by an 18-wheeler. Rumor was that it was me, but it wasn't. It was Jeremy. I'm a boss bitch.
Wow.
That was a great one from Taylor Lee Stalker Swift, or as her fans know her, Tay Trang.
Nobody calls her that.
Some people do. Josh, we've only got one last song left, and it's the number 5 song in this week's Wand Off.
All right.
And it comes to us from an artist you know and love.
Okay.
He was a young man who grew up with two idols, and they were Brett LaBelle and Adam Klein.
Ooh.
His dream was to one day be in the Wand Off. And all through high school, he told everybody he knew that one day he'd be a Wand Off superstar. With a lot of hard work and dedication, this man has come to the Wand Off and is back this week with a song all about Slam Town. Here's DJ LaBelle Klein.
Jeremy and Natalie come together and talk some strategy. Share a kinship, this could be good. We will see, but will she? Is my girl, and you are lame. Angelina, she feels the same. I'm making moves, I mean to win. My shtick, it fascinates Christian. Elected the mayor, constitutional luchador. I look like the mountain, but got a brain. Co-sponsor Natalie's new game. And if you try her, we will snuff out your fire.
You want to go for him? Welcome
to Slam Town. I want him out.
So that stinging sensation you feel in your eyes right now, that's a Natalie napalm.
Oh my God.
As God is my witness, he is broken in half.
Get off of my island.
That was the Slam Town theme song as performed by John Chicken Morrison. Damn. Josh, did you even know that Damn. Johnny Mundo had a theme song?
I absolutely did not. I assumed that he would after enough weeks here on the Wiggle Room and in the Wand Off, but I did not know that one existed already.
The wrestling fans really came out of the woodwork this week.
Indeed they did. Indeed they did. And what a wonderful time we all had here as a result.
Casey, can I just interrupt for 1 second? That Josh, do you think that if Mike White mentions like School of Rock, like all of the School of Rock fans are going to just come out of the woodwork and like a million like School of Rock references?
There hasn't been any real
get out of here, podcast boy. This is still my part of the show.
Okay, Casey, can I entertain what Rob had asked?
I'll allow it.
The answer, I think, is going to be yes. I think that we are going to get at least one, if not 20, School of Rock Wandoffs before this whole thing is over.
To vote in this week's Wandoff, make your vote count. It's so important. Make sure you go and vote at robhaswebsite.com/votewanda to make sure you vote for this week's Wandoff. Be on the lookout for music videos coming as well from Jason Curtis Rivera. And to submit songs for next week's Wandoff, send them in to wandoff@robhasawebsite.com. And to hear this week's jam-packed playlist, go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. To become a patron of Rob as a Podcast. For Casey Kasem and the Wandoff, keep your feet on the ground and keep your head in Slam Town. All right, thank you, Casey Kasem. Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. Casey Kasem,
he's kind
fearless.
Of difficult to work with.
A little bit sometimes. But you know, he's got like the bravado of somebody who is not afraid to go to Slam Town because he no longer has a physical body with which to be slammed.
Yes.
So he's
yes.
just got a lot of gusto, that man.
Okay. All right. Josh Wiggler, a.k.a. Round Howard on Twitter, a.k.a. the writer of Slamtown. What's next for you?
What is next for me? Well, we're going to be talking some Game of Thrones.
Sure.
On the post-show recaps of the Game of Thrones podcast that we're doing over there. That's what's next for me. That's going to be really fun.
Okay, looking forward to that. We will get into everything from Season 5, Episode 7 of Game of Thrones. Also, on the post-show recaps, you can check out my recap of the latest Walking Dead with Jessica Lease. That is up as well. And then we will be back here in 1 week's time for next week's Wiggle Room.
Yeah, more wiggling. There's so much more wiggling to do. It's a busy gig that we've got here, but... I'm happy to have it.
Yeah.
I like it.
And Josh, we've got a real treat for you coming up this week because on Thursday, I will have a guest here in the studio. The great PG Law will be joining me in studio on Thursday.
Please say hi for me.
I will.
Please say hello. Say hello from me to PG.
Yes. So we'll get her take on everything going on in the season coming up on Thursday. Of course, don't miss Survivor Know-It-Alls coming up on Wednesday. Be sure to follow everything Josh Wiggler is doing on Survivor at thr.com/Survivor. And to not miss a beat, follow at Round Howard on Twitter. Josh, any other final thoughts?
So there's a crab they're calling Seabass. Is Sebastian trapped? Is it like a Horcrux? Is this like part of Sebastian's soul that he's divided across Fiji? What was the deal with that?
Yeah, so I think that Mike and Liana touched on this briefly on the B&B, but they wonder that maybe since they had seen some of Ghost Island, the crab Sebastian, they called it Seabass because of naming of Dominic Abate's nickname for Sebastian.
I like to imagine that it's actually Sebastian, mm-hmm. and that Sebastian is an animagus and can transform himself into a crab and is trying to sneak in for the final push here for David versus Goliath. That's my prediction for the final episode.
And if I can just put two other thoughts out there that are both about things that you're not going to like.
Oh no, are you going to say the word?
So,
can you find a different word for it?
Well, here's my pitch for you, that the next time you're out on location and you want to ask people if they might pursue a romantic relationship in the game, instead of asking them if they are going to have a showmance, you could ask them, hey, are you single and ready to mingle? That you can make that your own, and that could be your thing in the preseason to ask people. You can have that.
I politely declined.
Think about it.
I thought about it. There was a little bit of a pause there. Hey,
so are you single and ready to mingle? Like that could be your thing.
Do you have the taboo buzzer handy?
I don't know where it is. I think it's missing.
And I can imitate it.
And number two, if Sebastian and Jenna from last season went on Big Brother instead of Survivor, they would be insanely more popular and have 30 times the social media presence that they have if they just were on the wrong show.
Where's this coming from? I mean, this is just kind of like you're just like some of these thoughts are just now.
Yes,
sort of
yes. I don't have, you know, sometimes I just have like these thoughts that come to me and I don't really have an outlet to express them.
You're feeling podcast unsure about where to place those thoughts. And so you decided to deposit them at the end of the Wiggle Room while most people are gone.
Jenna and Seabass, if they were Big Brother contestants and not Survivor, they would just have social media cachet up the yin yang.
Do you think it's possible that
people would stand them?
You think so?
I mean, even more so than they do now.
You can't stand the truth.
I can. They'd be hugely popular. They'd be major Instagram followings to no end.
What else is going on? What else do you have on your mind? I'm liking this.
Like the segment?
I like this. No. I'll enjoy this section very much. Thank you.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. But
what's up for dinner? What's up for dinner tonight?
Oh, boring chicken. Trying to get back on track. You know, it's kind of a crazy month in New York.
You miss your boring chicken.
Yeah, we're going to get complaints. We better wrap this up.
What's there to complain about?
Yeah.
So much.
So nice to catch up in the Wiggle Room. I thought this was a good episode.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. So, Josh Wiggler, I will talk to you soon. And, you know, we could just, you know, if I think of anything, we could talk for, you know, 30 minutes after we hang up. Or after. We hang up.
I mean, I'm going to be completely unavailable once you hang up with me. But
what?
I'm kidding.
That should be the thing. That should be in the new rule of that. But my only conversations have to be on the podcast. So anything else?
That's like the kind of thing that like someone challenges you on. That's not something that you're supposed to volunteer or something you're willing to do.
Yeah.
Like, I think the only things that I say should be on the record at all times. Who says that? You're like willingly wearing a wire everywhere you go?
No, never said that. I never said
that.
You
basically did. You did.
All right. Had a great time with Tyler Fredrickson here in the studio. He was really sweet about how much he enjoys listening to the podcast as well. So check that one out if you haven't done so. And looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Christian Hubicki.
Do you want to play with me?
Play with me? On the scene?
Do you want to play this game with me?
I know showmances are wrong, but I can't resist it. My algorithms ain't long, but you know what is. I know what a robot wants. I speak zeros and ones. I got genius level IQ scores, but with the ladies I'm lost. Women round the world, I don't speak their language, but with Gabby I don't need explaining. All I really need to understand is when she talks nerdy to me.
I'm a technical writer.
Talk nerdy to me.
Which means that I write documentation for software.
Oh no. Met a girl in Figio. She said play with me, oh.
Tres.
Here's my girl Gabio.
Cuatro.
Two brains. You're no Steven, close to genius. I'm no Dr. Mike, but I'll inspect your penis. And I'm Irina with your Mason dicks.
Dicks.
Brain to brain, kick out Nick.
Nick.
I love equation, it's so complex. Every puzzle solved, we pose a threat. Vote out Jess, do what you expect. I'm a David on beach, but Goliath in bed. Anyway, every day we're gonna get through it. Gonna go to the end with this geek cutie. Anyway, every day we're gonna get through it. Gonna go to the end with this geek cutie.
I feel like Kristen and I are
smoking hot and ridiculously sexy.